desire your prayers this morning. Depending on the Lord yet one more time. Desire to present the word of God that I believe that he has given for today in the way that he would have it, that it would serve the purpose that he would have it to serve this morning. Thankful that we still serve an amazing God. He's a God that doesn't change. In the midst of a world that changes all around, that we can have something consistent and constant in our lives, and that is an amazing God. It's a thought on the board. But I was just thinking about this in a natural sense. I don't know, maybe you've noticed this, maybe you haven't noticed it. But do you notice how companies and places of business and different places, maybe even customer service, different places that you have to interact with, maybe different ones you talk to, that they are so interested in your opinions. They're so, sometimes even you call up, maybe you have something, maybe you're dealing with a utility company or your cell phone company, whatever it is, and you have to make a call, and they'll say at the end of this call, there'll be a survey to let us know what you think. How was your experience today? It's just like everything, and it seemed like it's, even sometimes you go to a place of business, maybe a restaurant, and they'll on the receipt, they'll have it, fill out this survey, let us know how we did. They're so interested in knowing how your experience was. And I think a lot of times maybe ignore those things. I don't know. Maybe some of you are different than me. Unless I have to, I'll do it from time to time. But I would think most of us, we just kind of say, let it be. And we just say, go on. Well, you know what? There, maybe sometimes you had an experience. I recall a recent situation in our church. You won't mind me sharing this story. My parents took a flight somewhere, and their flight was delayed, and they had to spend the night. And so there was, she called and it expressed the frustration and all that. And it took a little bit of time, but they rectified that situation. So sometimes what happens is maybe we have a bad experience, and then we'll go to different lengths then. People will do all kind of things to say, okay, I wasn't treated right. I wasn't treated fairly. This wasn't supposed to, how it was supposed to be. And they'll do all kind of things, won't they? To say, I want, you need to take care of me in some kind. I need to be compensated. So we'll put much effort in things like that sometimes. Now I have a question this morning, the question behind me. When we think about, don't you think it would be good sometime to evaluate our relationship with God? Amen. Take a survey on are you satisfied this morning? Are you satisfied with the current relationship with you have with that amazing God that the brother was singing about this morning? And if you're not satisfied, why aren't you? Is there something that God isn't doing? Or is there something that God is trying to get a hold to us? And maybe it's something about us that we're not responding in a way that God will be able to, we can say, yes, I'm satisfied. Sometimes we realize and we recognize, we're not looking for verbal responses this morning. But if you're not satisfied, sometimes we know that we're not, and we know that we have need of something, but we don't really do anything about it, do we? So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're not satisfied, what are you going to do about it today? What are you going to do about it today? I'm reminded of a verse of scripture in Philippians, the second chapter in the 12th verse. And it talks about the end of that verse. It says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. You know, this question we each individually have to answer. I can maybe have a concern and a care for you, and I can maybe reach out to you and say, it just seemed like there's something that's not right here. But you know what? It's going to be up to each individual to work out their salvation with fear and with trembling. So are you satisfied? Satisfied, it means to be pleased or content. Are you pleased? Are you happy about your relationship with God this morning? What it says, happy or pleased or content with what you have been, what you've experienced or received. Are you satisfied with the experience that you have with God now? Well, if you haven't received him, then how can you be satisfied? Right? So, if you haven't received him, you still experience his love, his favor, his kindness, his compassion. He's still extending that to each and every one of us. But he has something more. And he has something better. There's a verse of song. I'll start with the chorus. And as we think about the question this morning, it's something that each and every one of us, we have to answer for our own self. Number 97, and the chorus says, my soul is satisfied. My soul is satisfied. It says, I am complete in Jesus' love, and my soul is satisfied. So this morning, are you complete in his love? Or do you feel like something is missing? Is there something missing? If there is something missing, God has something more. And if we recognize that, if we ask, when we look inward on our own self and our relationship with God, and we recognize, no, I'm not satisfied. There is something missing. There's something more that I desire from God. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it today? How much effort are you willing to put forth to get whatever that you stand in need of from God? Well, I asked once and he didn't provide it. Huh? How persistent are we with certain things that we want? If there's something that you want, what if you had a taste for something and you went to one store and it was all gone? Would you just stop there, or would you go to the other four stores that's right real close to you? You'd be like, all right, well, they don't have it. Let me go to this other one, and then I'll go, if they, I'll go somewhere else. We do that with natural things. Why don't we do that with God? I have a need, Lord. There's something missing in my relationship with you. And I'm willing to do whatever I have to do to get that satisfied. I want my soul to be satisfied. And I'll have to put forth effort in order to receive that. Let's go to a verse in Isaiah, the 58th chapter. And the 11th verse, Isaiah 58 and 11.
And the Lord shall guide thee continually.
It says here, the Lord, the prophet Isaiah said, the Lord shall guide thee continually.
And satisfy thy soul in drought.
And satisfy thy soul in drought.
And make fat thy bones.
And make fat thy bones.
And thou shalt be like a watered
garden. And thou shalt be like a watered garden.
And like a spring of water.
And like a spring of water.
Whose waters fail not.
Whose waters fail not. The prophet set a vivid picture in our minds in this verse, didn't he? It said, I'm going to guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. That means in the difficult times of life, in the difficult circumstances of life, God has what you need so that your soul can be satisfied even in those times. And then even in this analogy, he's talking about here, the prophet is saying, he said, I'm going to fatten up. You're going to have strong bones that you'll be able to make it. And it says here, thou shalt be like a watered garden. A watered garden is one that's well taken care of, that has some plants whatever, the things that grow in gardens that are flourishing. They're not dying. They don't look all withered, like they're not being taken care of. They're blooming. There's some growth here, and there's some growth there. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. He wants us to be like a watered garden. You look at a garden that's watered, and you know that's going to bring forth some fruit. Right? You can look at it and know, that's taken care of well. Oh, when it comes time for harvest, there's going to be plenteous that's going to come out of that. That's what his desire is for us. Is your relationship this morning with God like a watered garden? Or is it one of them neglected gardens? We tried with the garden. One year, it seemed like it was pretty good. But then I didn't have that watered garden. God wants us flourishing. He doesn't want us all, you go out and the plants all withered up and they shriveled up and it looked like they're about to die and the ground's all broken. That's not what God wants. He wants our relationship with him just to be like this watered garden. Said like a spring of water whose waters fail not. He's talking about a spring that just keeps on flowing, that doesn't run dry. That's what his desire is for us. Oh, we can be encouraged, saints. When we reach out to God, God always has, always is, and always will do his part. We do not have to be concerned. We serve an amazing God. And he will do everything that he said he would do. He's a faithful God, isn't he? So now I have to turn it in and say, how faithful have I been? Have I put forth, how much effort have I put forth? You know, we have a privilege and opportunity every Sunday, don't we? You could call them Sunday tune-ups. That's what we have, don't we? We have an opportunity because we look and we can say, maybe we look back on last week and maybe we had some trials and tests that we went through last week. Maybe some of them beat us up a little bit. Maybe they knocked us down a little bit. Maybe we were just a little wobbly and we come in for a little tune up, a little encouragement, a little refresher for God to renew us and bless us and encourage us to keep on going. And then maybe we look ahead and we don't know what's before us this week. Don't know what we're going to face. But we have an opportunity every Sunday to get a hold of God a little bit more. To say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face this week. But I know you have what I need. And we can know that God can be with us every step of the way. And we can be satisfied on a daily basis. And then we can be renewed and refreshed when we come together and meet together. And God allows us by the help of the Lord to expound a little bit upon his word. And we can just get some renewed strength. And God can bless and help us. I want to talk about a very familiar story about Jacob and Esau. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of it, but you understand the context of Jacob and Esau. They was twins, weren't they? They were going at it in the womb. That's what the scripture says. They were just striving with each other in the womb. And you know, the scripture talks about how even in the womb, Jacob seemed like Esau. He was the firstborn. And even as he was coming out, seemed like Jacob grabbed his heel. Trying to hold, I don't know what he was trying to do. Maybe he wanted to pull him back in so he could go out first. I don't know. But that's what it talks about. So there was a conflict there with Jacob and Esau. And it's something that seemed like it carried on. We don't know all the backstory, but we have enough of the story to know that there was some conflict there between those two brothers. In such the point where Jacob stole Esau's birthright, didn't he? And that caused it to make it so he had to leave because his brother was so upset with him. But there came a point in a time where they needed to come back together. Oh, but Jacob, he was afraid. He was scared. Wouldn't you be? Right? I mean, come on, you took something from a sibling that rightfully belonged to them. There's some fear. There's some trepidation. Let's read a little bit about some of his concerns that he had. Let's start in Genesis, the 32nd chapter, and let's read verses 6 through 8. Genesis 32, 6 through 8.
And the messengers returned to Jacob.
So this is about the time where there was the reunion was going to take place. So he said, well, you know what I need to do? I need to test the waters. So he sent out some messengers to give a warning. Didn't want to just surprise him and just show up. He sent out some messengers to go before him so they can see what it's going to be like. What's this reunion going to be like? I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. So let's just send you out and y'all give me a report so I can know what to expect. All right.
And the messengers returned to Jacob.
And so these messengers returned to Jacob.
Saying, we came to thy brother Esau.
We came to thy brother Esau.
And also he cometh to meet thee.
And also, guess what? We went to him, but you know what? He's coming. Now, just pause there for a moment. Wait. Can you imagine maybe some of the emotions that Jacob was going through at that period in time? Here he was reaching out and he's letting his brother know, I'm coming to meet you. We're going to have a reunion. And these messengers are saying, he's coming to you too. All right.
And 400 men with him.
Oh, it's not just him. He's just bringing just a few fellas with him. Just 400. He just has 400 men, that's all.
Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed.
Does that surprise you? No, shouldn't. Right? Here he's trying to reach out, and these messengers letting him know, oh, he's coming with 400 men. So now he's even more afraid.
And he divided the people that was with
so
him.
So now he's planning his head and thinking about, uh-oh. Just like the devil, ain't it? Gonna try to get in your mind what's the worst thing that can happen. He's coming with 400 men. He gonna kill all of us. So he's devising this plan now. Let's divide up. What does he say here?
He divided the people that was with him.
He divided the people that was with him and the flocks
and herds
and the herds
and the camels
into two bands.
And said,
if Esau come to the one company
and smite it, then the other company
shall escape. So he had this master plan now. He got 400 men. If they're all coming, then if we divide up, see, y'all wait over here, and then we'll wait over there. And if he go to them while he's getting and taking care of them, we'll take off running. Oh, but you know what? Jacob realized, I don't know, maybe he realized the error of his ways and say, what's going on here? There's a God of Abraham, huh? And Isaac. Wait a minute. I can do something different here. I can do something a little bit different here. So we fast forward a little bit. So he had something else in it. He's like this, maybe that'll work. Oh, but there's something else I can do. I can call on God. I can call on that amazing God, and he can help me out here. So let's go down to the 24th verse.
And Jacob was left alone.
So he had put some, and he set them in a particular place, and he was left alone.
And there wrestled a man with him until the
breaking
of the day.
And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day.
And when he saw that he prevailed
when
not
he
against
saw
him,
that he prevailed not against him,
he touched the hollow of his thigh.
He touched the hollow of his thigh.
And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of
and
joint.
And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint.
As he wrestled with him.
As he wrestled with him.
And he said, let me go.
And he said, let me go.
For the day breaketh.
For the day breaketh.
And he said,
and he said,
I will not let thee go.
I will not let you go.
Except thou bless me.
Except thou bless me.
And he said unto him.
And he said unto him.
What is thy name?
What is thy name?
And he said, Jacob.
And he said, Jacob.
And he said, thy name shall
and he
be
said,
called no
thy
more Jacob.
Name shall be no more called Jacob.
But Israel.
But Israel.
For as a prince,
for
thou hast
as
power
a prince,
with God and
thou
with man.
Have power with God. And with men.
And has prevailed.
And has prevailed.
And Jacob asked him.
And Jacob asked
and
him.
And said, tell me, I
tell
pray,
me,
thee,
I
thy
pray thee, thy name.
And he said.
And he said.
Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?
Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?
And he blessed him there.
And he blessed him there. Yes. So Jacob recognized and he realized, I need something more. I'm meeting my brother. He's coming with 400 men. I need something special from God. And he said he reached the point in his mind that I'm going to do whatever I need to do. He was going to go have some quiet time of prayer. And the angel seemed like came and visited him. Oh, and he got a hold of that angel. And he started wrestling. And he realized, I need something from God, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do until I feel like I have it. That's the determination he had. And he and that angel was trying to get loose, trying to get free from him. Oh, he touched his thigh, thinking that if he put his thigh out of joint, maybe that would slow him down a little bit. Maybe get him to a place where that angel could get away. Oh, but Jacob said, I'm not letting go. I'm going to hold on with all my might. Whatever strength I have, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to hold on tight until you bless me in such a way that when I go face my brother, that I'll be all right. What is it going to take for us as we journey along our pathway of life in our relationship with God? How much, how willing are we to fight? How much are we willing to go through and pursue in order to get what we need from God? Do we easily just give up? We can't do that. We got to have this same kind of attitude that Jacob had. He kept his ground. In one place it says, through the struggle, though it continued long, he did not shake his faith, nor silence his prayer. He was seeking a blessing. He needed something special from God. and he needed something. Those who would have a blessing of God, it says here in the commentary, it says, those who would have a blessing of God must resolve to take no denial.
Amen.
The fervent prayer is the effectual prayer. And in one place, it makes a reference to the prophet Hosea. And it said how Jacob wrestled. He wept and made supplication. And it said prayers and tears were his weapons.
Yeah.
So do you understand what take place here? This battle, it was physical, but it was more spiritual than physical.
Yeah.
It was something that he needed down in here. So that's what it was all about. There was a desire. There was a resolve. There was a determination. There was a sense of urgency and desperation. That's what it's going to take for us. We're going to have that those same desires. That's what we're going to have. Because why? The enemy of our soul is going to fight us all along the way. And he's going to throw all kind of fiery darts here and there to try to discourage us, to try to hinder us. But we got to be like Jacob.
Amen.
And recognize this is a matter of life and death.
Yes,
we're talking about eternal life and eternal death. So the question is, how long are we willing to fight? How long? Well, think about how long are we willing to watch and fight and pray? The battle, ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine employ. You talk about his name. Something happened. That night, something happened. There was a change that took place in Brother Jacob, Brother Israel, right? It says in the Amplified, it says in the name, your name shall be no more called Jacob, which means supplanter, right? There's a change that's taking place in your heart today. But Israel, which means contender with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with man and have prevailed. So it took his desire, his persistence, and his determination. How bad? How bad did he want it? He wanted it pretty bad, didn't he? Because he was afraid of what might take place. Maybe we are in situations like that in our lives. We don't know what's going to happen, but I want to encourage you, God has what you need.
Amen.
So if you're not satisfied with what you have, with what you're facing, God has more.
Yes.
Talked about that this was a spiritual battle more than a physical battle. So prayer and his holding on with faith and confidence that I need something. And I'm not letting go until I feel like I got what I need. James, the 5th chapter, 16th verse.
Confess your faults one to another.
Confess your faults one to another.
And pray for one another.
Pray for one another.
That ye may be healed.
That you may be healed.
The effectual fervent prayer
the
of a righteous man.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man.
Availeth much.
Availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer. So let's break some of this down here this morning. Does that sound like that's just a quick little, Lord help me. One time. That doesn't mean that you have to pray for hours and hours. It's what's in your heart. Lord, I'm coming to you, and it's about a persistence. A fervency is, I mean it. I mean it from the bottom of my heart, Lord, and I need something from you. And that means also about I'm not just going to pray one time. I'm not going to ask somebody else to pray and then forget to pray my own self. I'm going to be praying more than them. And I'm going to be seeking the Lord until he sends me what I need. There's an intensity and a fervency, and there's a confidence in God in what he said in his word that I'm not wavered. Maybe the answer doesn't come today. Maybe the answer doesn't come tomorrow. But that doesn't deter me from continuing to pray. And what else do I have to do along the way? Keep being righteous. Right? The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man. I have to do my part. And that's part, my part is still endeavoring by God's grace to live in a way that's pleasing and honoring to him. And then pray with that fervency and that confidence, knowing with an assurance that God is going to give me what I need. The fourth verse of number 97, my soul is satisfied. Can a bird drink up the ocean? Can a bird drink up the ocean, thirsting still from shore to shore? One bird? You don't tell me one bird can drink up the ocean and still be thirsty? The bird can't do it. Can't do it. Now, think about that. Can't do it, right? All right. Or the God of all creation leave my heart yet thirsting more? Come on now. We're talking about an amazing God that brother was singing about. The God of all creation. Everything that you see, that God, it started from what he put on here. The God of all creation, he's going to leave you thirsting for more? No. Not going to happen. Not if you have that determination and that resolve like Jacob had. He's not going to leave you thirsting for more. My soul is satisfied. Remember the water garden? That's what he wants for us. So what are we willing to do? We're going to call out, cry out to God if you have to. What are we willing to do? God has what we need. Amen. Philippians 4:19. This verse keeps coming up. Thank the Lord. It's in the Bible and it's true. So we're going to keep on reading it.
But my God shall supply
God?
All your need.
My God. Yes. But he's your God too. Yes. We can all say that. Yes. My God. And you can say it too. My God. He my God. Well, he's all mine. We all can say it. Yes. My God shall do what?
Supply all your need.
Supply all of your need.
According to his riches
and glory. According to his riches and glory.
By Christ Jesus.
By Christ Jesus. Can the God of all creation leave my heart yet thirsting more? No. Because it said he'll supply all of my needs. And when we're walking in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God, our needs are different. It's not about wants. Our needs are the things that I know I need to maintain my relationship with God and endeavor to get to heaven. And I recognize God knows what I need more than I know what I need. So I'm relying on him to supply what I need. And it's not about what I think I need. It's about God. What do I need in order to be able to make it? all this world in the first verse of that song, its wealth and honor cannot state the human breast. But when filled with God the Father, every want is truly blessed, is fully blessed. So every want, we talked about a change, right? What I want is not what I want. It's what God wants for me. That's what I want. I want what God wants. I don't want what I want. I want what God wants. Yeah. So the want changes, doesn't it? Yeah, there's a change there. All it says, what is that word? It says all this world, it's wealth and honor. Somebody can have all that and still not be satisfied. That cannot sate means to a please by indulging to the full. So you basically have everything and it still doesn't fix. You're still not satisfied. Why? Because there's a spirit in man. That's why. There's a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. God is the only one that can satisfy the soul. Let's look at one other example. Familiar text in Mark, 5th chapter. You all know this story. Mark 5, I'm going to start reading at the 25th verse. I'm going to read down through verse 34. And it says that a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things, in the 26th verse here, of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. She spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So she had a physical condition that she did everything that she possibly could do, spent everything that she had to try to remedy this condition. And instead of getting better, she just got worse. No doubt she was at her wit's end. Then it says in the 27th verse, when she heard of Jesus, somehow, some way, word got around about there's a Jesus going around. And he's healing folk. So she heard about it. And she tried everything, but she had some faith. All she did was hear about him. She heard, it's not like she had a firsthand experience. She heard about it from somebody else who maybe heard about it from somebody else. We don't know how many layers it went through to get to her. But she heard there's a Jesus and he's walking around. He's healing all manner of sickness and disease. And in her mind, she thought, I need to get to him. So when she heard of Jesus, she said, I need to get to where he is. Come into the press behind. All I need to do, look at her faith. All I need to do is touch his garment. I heard about him. I heard about what he's doing. I just need to touch his garment. Because she had it set in her mind. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, so it says here that was on her heart and in her mind. She just needed to touch him. So she got through the press, through the crowds. For she said, if I may touch but his garments, but his clothes, I shall be made whole. So somehow, some way, she got through the press and she touched his garment. And it says here in the 28th verse, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out, turned him about into the press, and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus felt some virtue had come out of him. He knew somebody had faith that she had in her heart, that she could just touch his garment and be made whole. And God rewarded her faith. Did he not? He rewarded her faith, and she touched his garment and felt the cleansing power of God work through her entire body. And Jesus felt something happened here. There's some virtue that came out of me. And I don't know how many people was around. It was a crowd, because you can tell by the response of the disciples. Because what did they say? Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, Jesus, do you see all these people? Look around. Jesus. I could imagine them. It was like probably laughing. Jesus, look at all these people. And you asking us, you Jesus, and you asking us, who touched you? And the disciples said, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. There's a bunch of people touched you, Jesus." "Thou seest the multitude," and he said, "and thou sayest, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. How'd he find her? That's Jesus. Don't you think there was some change that happened in her that made it obvious that she was the one? Right? Something, maybe her countenance, her glow, whatever it was, he went right to her. He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told the truth. She just, wherever, maybe she had touched him and then took off in the other direction. I don't know what had happened, but somehow God, Jesus, put his eyes right on her, and she just came running back and fell down at his feet. "I did it. I'm the one. I touched you." And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now I'm going to tell you some things that this woman didn't have. There was no pride in her heart. She just said, "I just need to get to God. And it don't matter whatever I need to do, I'm willing to do it." So the opposite of pride then is humility. Yes. And what about embarrassment? If there was a big throng of people, and if you ever been somewhere where there's a throng of people, you can't just push through people. She probably had to get on the ground and crawl. She might have got stepped on a couple of times, maybe took a couple of kicks, but she was willing to be embarrassed. You know, maybe there was people snickering. What is she? What? You know, if you walking in a crowd and you felt somebody on your legs, you'd be like, "What's going on here? What's wrong with her?" You know, people pointing, no doubt pointing. What is she doing? She didn't care. "I need something from God. All I need to do, whatever I just need to touch his garments. And whatever I'd have to do to get there, it don't matter. People can laugh at me. They can talk about me. They can point fingers at me. But I need to touch his garment so I can be made whole." How much effort did she have to put forth? Did that take some effort? Yes, it did. What about you and I? How much effort are we willing to put forth? How important is it to us? One other verse, a few verses here in Jeremiah, 29th chapter, verses 11 through 13.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord.
Thoughts of peace.
Thoughts of peace.
And not of evil.
And not of evil.
To give you an expected end.
To give you an expected end. Sometimes people will read this and they'll stop there. Oh, I know God. The thoughts that he wants the best for me. He does. But there's more to it than that.
Then shall ye call upon me.
Then shall ye call upon me.
And ye shall go.
And ye shall go
unto me.
And pray unto me.
And I will.
And I will hearken unto you.
And ye shall seek me.
And ye shall seek me.
And find me.
And find me.
When ye shall search.
When ye shall search for me.
With all your heart.
With all your heart. Seek him, you'll find him when you search with all your heart. Are you satisfied? I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.